Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Episode number 25 of the program on this Friday, July 5th, 2019. Coming to you from the bunker in a field, North Regina, where it's cloudy in the 306 today. I hope you're excited for what we feel will be a tremendous show today. Bit of a football Friday on the old program. Rod here, Dupes there, and Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster John Lynch. How are you guys?
Great. Great. You know, it's funny. When you said good morning, world.
Yes.
All I could hear was good morning, men, which was Grandpa Ken.
Good morning, riders.
Yeah, good morning, riders.
That's
right?
What it was.
That's what it was.
Maybe
okay.
That's what I should say. But we've got fans of other CFL teams watching, so I don't know if I'll drop. Let's bring Kenny in and let him say it himself.
That'd be amazing.
That's the idea. No, we don't have Ken Miller in studio, just his lookalike, his stunt double. Ken, John Lynch is here. How many times have you been mistaken for
about
Ken?
Half a dozen to 50.
What's your favorite?
Well, you know what it is.
I know what it is.
We're doing in the our post-game show on a Monday night, regular show on a Monday night at the window at the front of the RM building. And Nate Davis goes by, and he looks at us, and we wave at him. And he comes to the door, and he wants to come in and see us. And so we let him come in. We come in and sit down. Again, he says, I would really have liked a plate for you, to me.
We're like, who do you think he is?
We just killed ourselves laughing.
You're Coach Miller, right?
I said, no. I'm not, Nate.
That was hilarious. That's the best one.
Yeah.
Good morning, Kenny.
Clark,
in the hills of North Carolina.
Can we get a side-by-side, Clark, Ken Miller, and John Lynch?
Might take a while. He says he's working on it. So this is the warm-up. We've jumped right into the deep end. And the Facebook feed is going crazy here. Terry writing in already. Good morning, Rod. Loving the show. First time watching live from north of CAMSAC, Comprehensive Institute. Jeff, yeah, frenzy is on.
Jeff Kozak, don't know him.
Well, you do now. Jessica watching from Winnipeg. Bombers still unbeaten after tonight. Hey, Jessica, don't get cocky. Because Hamilton did. Not necessarily the Ticats, but their fans did, guys. The things that I was seeing on social media. And they went into Montreal last night and got suitably pantsed.
That's right.
At Percival Molson McGill Stadium. Alouettes 36, Ticats 29. But just hang on. She got me ahead of my notes here. Football Friday. So Darren DuPont, John Lynch here for the warm-up. TSN's Dave Naylor will be with us via video chat from TDOT. And Stampeders blogger Ryan Ballantyne, who is warming up over there in the sponsors lounge right now, getting a taste of what this show's all about. And we're going to talk about Canada's game of the week Saturday night, the Calgary Stampeders here in town to take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And by the way, the Friday poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision, you can vote at Rod Peterson Show, our Twitter feed, or our website. Here it is. Daily poll for Capital and Universal. Who will win the battle of the backups? Cody Fajardo or Nick Fatty Arbuckle? And don't, Ryan, get upset. Fatty Arbuckle was a 1930s silent film star. Were you aware of that? You knew. Nobody else seems to know that. So Fatty Arbuckle versus Cody Fajardo Saturday night. And so far, shocking. It's like 82% of respondents are saying Cody Fajardo will win the battle of the backups, but we need to get the Stamps vote in there, right? So you folks watching in Calgary this morning, good morning, and also good evening to our friends in Norway. How was dinner? Hope you're rolling into the weekend in Norway with your lutefisk and crumb cake.
Oh, how about that, eh?
Yeah.
Lutefisk and crumby. What's that?
They are Norwegian delicacies. We've learned from our 19 viewers in Norway that never miss a show.
Which we're going to try and get some on this show at some point, right?
Couple quick things here in the warm-up before we dive into the football. Clark has put up the poll results from our website. 93.3% say Cody Fajardo will be the victorious quarterback Saturday night. By the way, Cody coming out on Twitter yesterday and confirming it is Fajardo on his Twitter account, at Cody Fajardo 17. So it's not Fajardo, so stop it. And I love the lady that was going off last weekend on Twitter saying, "You idiots, it's Fajardo." Who's the idiot? You don't even know. You don't even know what you're talking about. Speaking of knowing what they're talking about, breaking news this morning. The Stampeders are to place Bo Levi Mitchell on the six-game injured list. I heard that somewhere.
24 hours ago.
Oh, right here. Right, I can't forget. Al Kruger watching from Vancouver this morning. Al says, six games for Bo, just like you said. There it is. Thanks, Clark, for throwing it up on this. Oh, breaking news. Stamps placing quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell on a six-game injured list. Should I ask for an apology from those that said mean things?
You should. You deserve it.
I agree. Lieutenant Eric, writing from Facebook. Rod, it's your boy, Lieutenant Eric, from TSN 1260 Edmonton. Checking in from Saskatoon. Looking good, boss. Let's grab some hot dogs at the game tomorrow. I'm all over it. This would be a great time to have my first 24-inch hot dog at the Mosaic Stadium.
Certainly would.
Joey Chestnut yesterday getting his 13th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship title. 71 hot dogs he threw down in America on Independence Day. I love the social media commentary about that gentleman. Has anybody seen Joey Chestnut today, by the way? Has anybody seen how he's doing? Did he survive over 71's a lot.
Most major networks covered it. You can believe that?
Well, of course, it's a big deal, Lynch.
I guess it is.
What does the inside of those guys look like? I can't even
imagine. I don't want to know. I don't want to even be anywhere around the block that Joey Chestnut lives this morning.
Yeah, what is their 24 hours like? I wonder.
I got a pretty good idea. Do you remember Ryan Ballantyne, Stampeders blogger, when they brought Joey Chestnut in for Stampeders game? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I got a story about that.
He's got a story, he says. He's sitting offset here, Stampeders blogger coming in. I was one of the few regrets I have in life is I never had the opportunity to meet Joey Chestnut. I would have loved to have just shaken that dude's hand. 71 hot dogs are a lot. I can't get past six at a Pats game. Maybe six and a half, but then I start to feel a little queasy.
It's a wonder he's alive, you know, really.
It's a wonder he's alive.
You've had six in one outing?
Oh, yeah. That's nothing.
Okay.
That's like a Tic Tac to Joey Chestnut.
How big a hot dog?
Regular, average size hot dog.
Why did you have six at one time?
Well, I was trying to see how many I could eat, and I got
contest
to
with somebody.
Well, you didn't have contest with myself.
I can't imagine you had six sitting in the seat. I think you went.
No,
back.
I bought six,
but you kept going back. Like, for
no,
the
I bought
course
six
of a game
at one time
and sat them in front of him and then ate them all.
Why does that sound so hard
because
to believe?
It's rather unusual.
It is very unusual, but I do a lot of unusual things.
Yes,
which, speaking of, by the way, 71 hot dogs. I advocate now for moderation for people like me that have no idea what moderation is. So to sit and try and stuff my face with hot dogs isn't that smart to begin with. So anyways, kudos to Joey Chestnut. And I think, you know what we should have here? Because donuts are such a big thing. And Paul's on a day off today. We should have a donut eating contest. Your eyes just lit up. Contest.
Well, yeah, actually. You know, you get the ads on your phone, on Instagram, whatever. Wayfair. Yeah. What's the Wayfair, the one where you get all this the cool stuff for the home and for the backyard and stuff? It's like Amazon or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Forget
and
me.
What I saw there, and I was thinking of you, was a hot dog cart, a steamer. Hot dog steamer cart or whatever it is. I'm like, we should have that right in the corner. We could be cooking hot dogs out there in the morning.
I love donuts far more than hot dogs, and I love hot dogs too. I think we should have a donut eating contest. And who's the donut company in town that you were pimping there for a while?
Hobo Donuts.
Are they still in business?
Oh, amazing.
They're really big, aren't
Huge.
They? They're big donuts.
You know what?
They're not average donuts. No, I don't want like a Robin's or a Tim Hortons donut.
The donut, the size of the donut's not big. The quality of the donut is amazing. And they don't pay me to say this, but I saw them. They post their schedule every so often, like online, and you don't know where they're going to be because they don't have a shop, right?
So they're mobile.
They're mobile. They're in the coffee shop. They're in different locations, and they tell you when they're coming. And it's incredible to watch this guy. So you go there, and you have to line up. You don't know where he's going to set up either. So people are mulling around. The lineup is out the door of the coffee shop, weaving its way around. And then this guy shows up in his car, very unassuming, and like a rock star. People on the line are whispering, is that him? Is he coming? There he is. And he starts rolling out trays of donuts that he had made in his bakery.
Right.
In the morning.
Sets up,
and they're sold out within like 40 minutes.
A couple of comments, by the way. Derek writing in on Facebook, he says, steam your hot dog over grilling. Man card revoked. I won't eat steamed hot dogs. Well, I find them disgusting.
What do they cook them on the street?
No, I think it is a steam. No, that's a grill.
Is it?
Cart downtown?
The roller, whatever. I don't know what
that is. Now, there's got to be a flame under that.
Okay.
There's got to be. But even we always joke at the Pats games, there's like black marks on the hot dog. I'm assuming they're grill marks. I hope.
Sharpie.
But if Clark's telling me that they're steamed all the way in my ear. For new viewers of the program, if there are times that I act like I've had a stroke, it's because Clark's talking to me. And it's not your fault, Clark. I'm just saying sometimes stuff's going on. Who wrote in here earlier? They said, great way to end the week. It was Ryan up in Saskatoon area of the Delisle Chiefs. He said, great way to end the week. Here it is. Good morning, Rod, John, and Dupes. Great way to end the week listening to the show. You're the analytics guy here, Darren. Do you want to tell the folks what you were telling me before we went to the air about online listeners on Fridays of the Rod Peterson Show?
Yeah, they love it. And you'll be amazed. We have great online listenership in the online radio feed. But Friday, our audience is more than double any other day of the week.
Crazy.
Is that right, yeah?
It's incredible.
I think it's you, Lynch.
It's incredible.
Well, a lot of people now are working only 4 days, Monday to Thursday. I work 6 till 10. And work 4 days, and they get the Friday off. So this is what's happening.
Yeah.
They're watching us.
Yeah.
Actually, a lady wrote me. I call up my Instagram, Krista, and she says, just wanted to say I really enjoy your show. I bet you have a big stay-at-home mom sports fans following, and you don't even know it. Keep it up. You make it look easy. And then she sent a fist pound. I told her 38% of our viewers are female.
Yep.
Look at this guy.
Again, I think it's you, Lynch, because you
sexy beast.
Look at the
bottom there, right?
From Chris Winkler. We were talking about you before the show. The all-time leading scorer in Kindersley Clippers history.
Well, that's right.
Lynch, you look fantastic.
Great guy. Great guy, Chris.
We will get to football. Trust me. Stampeders blogger Ryan Ballantyne will be in the bunker with us. He's actually in the bunker now, but on the sponsor's couch. And we've got TSN's Dave Naylor coming up, too. But we're in the warm-up, and I got a few things that I want to get to. Everybody wants to get to the football, and trust me, I get it. Wayne in Victoria, BC, says this morning, good morning, guys. I was very happy for Vernon Adams Jr. last night. I thought the TV crew were going overboard with how great the Ticats
were.
Were they?
Let
me just pause for a second. I was at TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday at the Regina Armory last night, hanging out with the Canadian Armed Forces personnel. So we kind of had one half on the eye on the game and one half on our visit about Trump and Independence Day and stuff like that. But all I saw was how great Vernon Adams was playing and how great the crowd looked in Montreal. I see people are trying to tear apart the Alouettes because they tarped off upper echelon of the stands, upper parts of the stand. That's very smart of them to do that, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys. They squeezed all the fans together. It looked really good.
It did.
Hats off this morning to the Alouettes all around from an organizational standpoint to win the football game, put on a show. Luc Brodin-Jourdain goes out a winner.
Amazing.
Yep.
Luc Brodin-Jourdain, sorry. And it was a perfect night in Montreal for a team that, you know what, guys, needed it.
Yeah. You know, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, and I keep going back and I keep being reminded of some of the reports, you know, from Mike Sherman's final days or his final couple of games, and how there's so much turmoil on that sideline. And when he was finally let go, so short to the season, and we went off, and it seemed like it was, the house was on fire. You know, the one line that I read, now the team actually has a chance to win some games. That has always stood out to me. And we saw that last night. And I, you know, remember saying, you know, it's nice to see the good comments for Vernon Adams Jr. because, you know, how long is his leash? When is his chances running out? And you said, you know, second chances, sometimes they never run out. They keep coming.
If you're talented.
If you're talented. And he only threw for, what, a shade over 200 yards last night, so he didn't light up the field a whole lot. But he was calm. He was composed. He did what
he
had to do.
That ground game for that.
William Standback. It was amazing.
Standback was absolutely incredible.
Three touchdowns. Three touchdowns.
First time since Mike Pringle in 98, I think, that it was that an Alouette running back has gone over 200 yards on the ground.
He was terrific. I mean, this guy is fabulous. He's really going to be something else in this league. Great to see. Great for football. I thought Vernon Adams, I thought when he's here, he looked pretty good. But he's been just about every team in the league. You know, he's got after me after Kevin Glenn.
Quite a few. You know who has been with every team in the league? Kahari Jones, almost.
Yeah, yeah,
and Tom Halleck writing in from Winnipeg this morning, where we're very big in Winnipeg. And trust me, we'll get to the Friday night football clash. Bombers at Ottawa. Tommy Halleck, he's the press box announcer at IG Field, says, happier than a pig in mud for Kahari Jones. I think we're all very happy for Kahari Jones. Mm-hmm. And I guess my whole thing with the Alouettes, that was an organizational rant I went on a month ago on the Owls, not necessarily on their personnel. And we love Kahari. We had him here. He's a super, super dude. And the stress of coaching in the CFL, by the way, head coaching, I think, is evident on Kahari Jones because it looks like he's down 30 pounds. He looks great, by the way, but he looks thinner now than even when he played.
That's right.
These guys are stressed. They don't even have time to eat.
That's right.
But Kahari got the win. And that is a talented bunch, by the way. Don't forget. They did it without Antonio Pipkin. They did it without Taylor Loeffler, who might be the best Canadian safety in the league. Although Mike Adam, props. He's been playing great through the opening 3 weeks, too. Or Adam, however you're saying it today, Mike. And we are Facebook friends. I'm sure he's watching. Continuing here on the warm-up before we move in Ryan Ballantyne. It is Sasky night tomorrow night at the Rider game. I've noticed that by all the billboards around town. Lynch, you must have seen that.
Yeah.
Sasky night, is that Tenille Arts that's on the thing? Yeah. So that's how I get my news, I guess, billboards. And I got to say, kudos to Tenille Arts. So from game 3 of the NBA Finals, where she was singing O Canada, in Oracle Arena in Oakland, first Weyburn, then Nashville, then Oakland, and now Regina to sing tomorrow night at the game.
That's great.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
I'm still learning to be a fan, as you know, Darren. You saw that in the preseason game. So I don't really know. Like, at the rainout game Monday, or the delay, I'm like, so there's going to be a concert here? Great Big C? Well, they're good. They're like, no, it's Big Sugar. I'm like, oh, Big Sugar. They sing Pontoon, right? No, that's Sugar Land. Oh! I'll get this figured out at some point. I'm not the biggest music guy. But for Weyburn's Tenille Arts to accomplish the things that she's done, and I saw her in concert with Dean Brody, she's outstanding.
Yeah.
And to make it from Saskatchewan as a music star, period, let alone country music star, is mind-boggling. Because I wanted to be a country music star growing up in Milestone, Saskatchewan, but I thought there's no way anybody from Milestone, Saskatchewan could ever be a country music star, so I gave up. Plus, I was a terrible singer. But, Darren, you growing up in Wynyard, you had dreams, right, of playing a piano in a band.
Well, that wasn't my dream.
Or it was your mom's
dream.
That
was my mom's
dream. Isn't it always moms have different dreams than our own?
Exactly. But yeah, we all
everybody had their piano,
right?
All three of us at home.
And had one too?
Yeah, my mother loved the piano.
Yeah.
Well, you grew up in these small towns. For you, Lynch, it's Rollo.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I know I can't sing, but I can play a mean guitar. And Derek Underwood plays the drums. You're starting to assemble your team, your band of people in the town.
Yeah. Sure.
But then I tossed it and moved on to a career that is varying degrees of success, depending on how you look at it.
And who you talk to.
And who you talk to. That's about it. Other than no Kawhi Leonard update yet today, guys?
I would assume
the Facebook feed would let us know whether Kawhi Leonard has signed anywhere this morning. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, writing in, as you see. He says, you mean you get your news from CTV? Sometimes. Yes, sometimes I do. I'm like Randy Ambrosi said to me when we talked about this. I asked him where he gets his news. He said everywhere. I'm a news junkie. And I'd say I'm pretty much the same. So no Kawhi Leonard update yet. And the Oilers, Lynch. Let's just talk about the Oilers for a second in free agency.
That's about all for a second. All they need to.
You're giving them a thumbs down in free agency?
Yeah, I am. I'm giving them a thumb down overall. Very surprised they got Ken Holland back as the general manager. Then he hired Dave Tippett, one of your great friends, I know. I think they're going to be in trouble again, quite frankly.
But they... I know it's not an Oilers show, but we could do this all... I would love to talk about it. They got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So they got a GM. They got a head coach. Look at Ballantyne. You're a Stamps fan, not a Flames fan. Are you a Flames fan, too?
Of course.
So they got a goalie, and they got the best player in the league. Now, you can't do it with just two players. We saw that with the Pats over the years. You know, with Tubert and Eberle, you miss the playoffs. You can't do it with just two, but it's a good place to start. Come on, Lynch. You're like a typical Oilers fan.
About 2 months from now, Kenny Holland's going to phone up Steve Yzerman, who's back in Detroit as a GM, and say, okay, Kenny, or Steve, I want your first line and a first-round draft choice next year and in 2021, and we'll give you Connor McDavid.
You want to trade Connor McDavid?
I don't want it, but I think that will happen. A proposition like that will happen because he wants to do something drastic. He's got to do something drastic. You can't have Mike Lucci out there still for 12
grand. Milan Lucci. See, this is where the NHL lost me. Lucic wants out of Edmonton. Edmonton wants Lucic out of Edmonton, but they can't. Nobody wants him.
Yeah.
Because he makes too much money.
Well, and everybody's getting rid of the salaries. The Leafs were able to get rid of Patrick Marleau. They've got out of their cap situation. They were in a terrible cap situation, you know, trying to sign their free agents. I saw the comment come in about Mitch Marner. Yeah, I think there's a great chance they're going to sign him now. I think they will because Dubas has done what he needs to do. He's now created a nice, comfortable cap situation by dealing away some contracts, getting Kadri out, which wasn't a goal, but, you know, that...
It might have been.
That cleared up some room. It might have been, you know, getting Marleau out.
Picking up Jason Spezza doesn't hurt either.
No, it doesn't.
What's Spezza ever done?
Nothing.
No.
Thank you.
But, you know, you add some veteran depth, which I think helps. You know, it's a good situation, and I think they're in a good spot now.
Are they going to get Marner? If they don't get Marner, they're done. Forget it.
I know. I think they're going to get him.
Hey, they're telling me to wrap up now, but in 60 seconds, we got to get to this. We got all day, Clark, I think. Maybe not. But Don Narcisse is watching from Houston, Texas this morning. Good morning, Narco.
How about that, Narco?
This is a good time, Darren, to throw in your pitch for our Houston, Texas trip with Uniglobe Travel, the first ever Rod Peterson Show sports trip.
Don's there, right?
Don, we would love you on the show, by the way.
Yes.
When we are in Houston, December 5th to the 10th. Don Narcisse, please book it on this program. So make plans if you haven't already for December 5th to the 10th. And what our viewers need to know
here. December 5th to the 10th. It's a great deal. We're going to go to Houston. We're going to see the Texans and the Broncos. We'll see the Houston Rockets. There's NCAA football high school championships are going on as well. Five nights, rodpeterson.com/trip. rodpeterson.com/trip to sign up. There's land packages available. So if you're in the area, if you want to use your points to fly down, you're flying out of Winnipeg or you're flying out of Toronto and you want to book your own flights, you can just sign up for the land package. But fill out the form, rodpeterson.com/trip.
It's the only sports trip I've seen under $2,000.
Yeah.
It's the only one that I've seen. So anyways, Rod Peterson Show making daytime TV great again. We will take a timeout. That's the end of the warm-up. And we'll get deep into the CFL when we come back. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to $19,000 on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
That's right. And if you'd have been in this field north of Regina this morning, you'd have seen Lynch and me and Big Bird, or even on Ring Road, eh, Lynch? That was a fun. We had a great, very deep talk this morning.
We just about got killed, too, by the way.
We didn't. Why?
Well, how do we? Didn't like us.
How do we? Oh, we. That's right. I cut a lady off, and she gave me a bouquet signal. Hey, we were busy. We were busy visiting. Friday morning sports update. Where do I start? Danny Jansen hit 2 solo blasts and added a ground rule double, but the Toronto Blue Jays still lost to the Boston Red Sox 8-7 last night. Jansen has 5 homers in his past 7 games and hasn't struck out in his past 10. Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Kendrick Norton suffered multiple injuries in a car crash that required his left arm to be amputated. Florida Highway Patrol says the vehicle Norton was driving crashed into a concrete barrier and overturned early this morning near Miami. A Dolphin statement said 22-year-old Norton's injuries aren't considered life-threatening. A former Dallas Cowboys player previously convicted in a drunken driving crash that killed a teammate is now wanted for violating his probation. The Dallas County Sheriff's Office says a warrant was issued for the arrest of Joshua Brent after the former defensive lineman was charged with assaulting a police officer. Man, we need some good news this morning, and not great news out of Calgary this morning. The Stampeders officially announcing that Bo Levi Mitchell will be going to the 6-game injured list. News that the Rod Peterson Show brought you yesterday. As this show rolls along this morning, a Football Friday, we welcome your text messages as well on the Prairie Mobile text line. Get it hopping. 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. The text comes straight to me, right in my hot little hands. John Frenzy with me here. Last night, Montreal beating Hamilton 36-29 at Percival Molson Stadium. The Alouettes improved to 1-2 and look good doing it. Ticats fall to 3-1. Friday night football tonight. Winnipeg Blue Bombers at Ottawa in a clash of the unbeatens in the CFL. Red Blacks favored by 3.5. Joining us on set to talk about tomorrow night's Canada's Game of the Week, Ryan Ballantyne from the Horsemen Radio Podcast. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. How's it going, Rod?
Welcome to the Queen City.
Hey, it's good to be here. I was born here before my parents moved away.
One of those
four
families, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, like everybody else, I live in Alberta now.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you here. And, oh, by the way, just before the break, Lynch chimed in that he thinks the Oilers are going to trade Connor McDavid. And I got to get this in. Brad Carlson writes in, says, Oilers trade Connor McDavid, and I'm officially not cheering for them anymore. Maybe. So
rooting for that, by the way, for Connor McDavid, because he needs to get out of Edmonton so he can win.
Can we go?
I feel really bad for Connor McDavid that he's jammed into the Oilers organization right now. They've squandered a decade of high picks.
I don't think he'll be there next year.
And so I want Connor McDavid traded, not just because as a Flames fan, I don't mind the Oilers being bad and not having that guy, but, I mean, just awful. I feel terrible for the man.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think I don't think he can ever come out and publicly say I want to be traded.
Yeah.
But if they have another year where they don't make the playoffs and he's not behind the scenes saying, "Hey, look, get me out of here, get what you can." I mean, the return for him is will get less every year going forward.
Right.
And so now you need to trade him now when he's at the apex of his career to the people who can afford him and actually make that worthwhile.
And that would be Detroit, eh? Or New York.
Yeah, it could be. Could be Detroit, New York. That's not a bad choice.
Dallas watching this morning from Phoenix Group. He is a former Oilers employee, and he says Lynch is officially not allowed to talk hockey anymore. Dallas Fedorchuk. Hey, I'm okay with that. He is an Oilers fan. Lynch is, and clearly you are too, Dallas. But look, it's a morning coffee talk. It doesn't have to be 100% football, and we got lots of time to delve into Canada's game of the week, so just give me a little more, Ryan. And by the way, it was not a shock that we brought Ryan in. He's got opinions. He sounds good, and from what I can see on the screen, you look good on television, Ryan. So this is a home run as far as I can see. But just on the Flames, you follow the you don't do a Flames podcast, right? You do a Stamps podcast.
Yeah, there are a couple other Flames podcasts out there. I don't do a Flames podcast. I don't have time. You know, once I'm doing the Stamps podcast and dealing with everything that's involved with, as much as I love the Flames, one of the other reasons I do the Stamps podcast is because they're accessible. You know, Johnny Gaudreau's not coming to my house to sit in my basement and talk about hockey, where the Stamps are completely and totally accessible. I also do work for the Roughnecks as well. So
awesome. Big NLL fans here.
Another, yep. Yeah. Yeah. The NLL, if you haven't been and it's in your city, you have to go.
No doubt.
Or if you're going to a city that has it, you have to go. It's incredible. Anybody who likes football or hockey or basketball will find something about lacrosse that you love. I can't say enough about the NLL. It's incredible to
nor
watch.
Can I. And just, Lynch, you got your hand in the air. You obviously want to say something, but just hang on. I didn't say that you could. 18,000 people in the Saddle Dome to watch the Roughnecks in the league final. Like, that's some serious numbers, Ryan. So why are the Roughnecks so big? Have they been there long enough that people in Calgary know how good it is?
Yeah, the Roughnecks have been around for a long time now. I think they're 17 years, 18 years. And they've been consistently good. They've only missed the playoffs once in their history. They're consistently within the contenders. And yeah, when they sold out the Saddle Dome for the championship game, the Champions Cup game against Buffalo a couple weeks ago, the atmosphere was electric.
I bet.
The music's nonstop. The action is fast-paced. It's what you think of when you think of those old 70s hockey game when guys are just blowing other guys up. Yeah. That still happens in the National Lacrosse League. Guys get blown up and they're on their feet. They're not on skates. When these guys drop the mitts and throw, it's just a fight. It's not, I slipped and I lost my balance. It's two guys just throwing. And the activity, the pace of the game is incredible. You know, it's back and forth. You've got that same kind of perimeter offense that you see in basketball with the shot clock. And because of the shot clock, you're getting constant possession changes and nobody really carries the play. It's a remarkable sport and one that doesn't even necessarily translate well when you're watching it. But when you're in the building, man, that's electric. I've been up to the Rush games in Saskatoon, and that building, there is not many better atmospheres in sports.
I agree.
To a lot of places and a lot of sports. That building, when the Rush are playing, man, it's electric. You can feel it. You can feel it.
I can't get enough of Rush games. Oh, and okay, so from the Rod Peterson Show, from our producer Clark, any sports or Big Brother Canada questions for Ryan Ballantyne while we have him? We'll get to the Big Brother. You were on Big Brother Canada, but look, we promised we would talk football.
Yeah.
Is that your question, football?
Well, I want to ask you, what's the feeling in Calgary towards a Grey Cup? I get the opinion it's very lukewarm, so you tell me the way it really is.
Calgary is, in general, lukewarm about a lot of things. Once we're through Stampede, you know, we gear up for Stampede. Once we're through Stampede, then we look to the next thing. Grey Cup itself, and the festival around it will be incredible. I have no doubt about that. And the city will embrace it and really kind of get into the mood of Grey Cup. I mean, we all three know that the reason Grey Cup is a party is because of Calgary fans. You know, they pack the trains in 48. They go to Toronto, and the festival becomes a thing.
And the horse goes into the hotel.
Horse goes into the hotel. Everything that was associated with the Grey Cup and the party around it was because Calgary started firing up the party in 48. Calgary throws a party better than almost anybody.
And well, I got to challenge you here. It's a 36,000 seat stadium.
Yes,
they're content to just fill a stadium.
Yes,
they're not going to put any additional seats in. They're not going to use a Saddle Dome.
Let's not pretend that the stadium can hold more than 30,000 comfortably. When you get to a sellout in Calgary, the concessions are too long, the bathrooms are too long. It's not necessarily comfortable. Jamming another 10,000 people in there means that you are going to drive people who would have bought a ticket at 36,000 to stay away, because when you get to 45, 46,000, the stadium is untenable. We need a new stadium badly in Calgary. The reason being is that McMahon's not capable of that kind of size of crowd.
Well, Grey Cup's traditionally, it's in the contract, the city that hosts it is supposed to make an effort to put 10,000 additional seats in, not to make money, but to just give people 10,000 fans more the chance to feel the experience, the atmosphere.
But Ryan, just explain why they wouldn't want to do that. I'm with you on that.
Experience the Grey Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to have my seat. I bought my seat already, and should I get into the very crammed press box in Calgary, which I'm not anticipating, I will have somebody else in my seat. But at that point, I think you really can't afford to put that much extra seat. In 2009, it was an absolute gong show. And they had the extra seats in the end zone at that time. And it was impossible to move around at any point in the game. Even in the middle of the first quarter, if you went down to the bathroom, you couldn't move. It was the concourse.
Was that
was
a problem? Was that looked upon as being a problem?
I think so. From a fan experience, I didn't. You know, I go to games at McMahon. I've been going to games at McMahon for 20 years now.
How about the big question then? The big question then: when are you going to get a new stadium? What do you think, honestly?
Wow,
you're saying about 10 years down the line.
Tomorrow, if I get my way. You know, if I could blink it into existence tomorrow, I would. I don't know that with the current city council that it's going to get done.
That's not a priority.
It's a real hesitancy from them to put any money into it.
I'm glad you're here, Ryan. Because I went to college in Calgary, and I actually, dirty secret, love Calgary. How can you not? It's a tremendous city.
Spectacular.
The people haven't been that great to us over the years, but I might have had a role in that. I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I don't either, John. I don't know why they hate me in Calgary. And
I've heard your appearances on The Fan.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it's WWF stuff. That was acting. I don't understand that they don't get that. But the thing with City Council in Calgary is only a reflection of the people. These are public servants elected by the people. I say it's a reflection of the people of Calgary that don't want these arenas.
I mean, there was the plebiscite for the Olympics, and that failed.
Right.
And which was asinine to me as well, because the amount of money that could have poured into the Calgary economy was amazing. The Calgary Olympics in 88 were the first ones to make a profit. You know, they showed a profit on that and built the lasting legacy. A lot of Canadian Olympic success now is because of the success of the 88 Olympics in Calgary, because of the facilities.
Of course.
There was world-class facilities to train at. And now those facilities exist in Vancouver. Absolutely, they do. And they've shuttered the bobsled track in Calgary now. That's closed. The ski jump would have had to been redone. And there was a lot of things that would have had to be redone. And a lot of the Olympics are considered a white elephant now. You're spending way more money than you're ever going to get. But it's not about, to me, the outlay of dollars. It's about the legacy that you can build for your nation. And having the Olympics in Calgary built a legacy that we rode through to winning the 2010 games in Vancouver.
You got a Morley boy as a mayor. A Morley boy as a mayor. whose sports are the last thing he cares about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Clearly. Because Nenshi's a fan of sports. I know a guy, a friend of mine that was on CBC for a while, and his Ken Lee Miquelo. I'll shout him out in case he's watching. he said the first Stamps game he ever went to in college was because Nenshi took him. He said, "You have to come watch the Stampeders. They're incredible." And he said, "It's an incredible experience." And Nenshi is a sports fan, but he also doesn't want to be looked at as the guy that builds the arena in case the arena down the line becomes a white an albatross, right?
He doesn't want that to be his legacy.
Right, right. You can't have it be a legacy for you if you're going to end up having it hang over your head. You know, when you look at the Big O in Montreal, you just think it's terrible, right? It's a terrible facility. It's never been good. It's always been falling apart and all of these things. And he doesn't want that associated with himself, I don't think.
Well, that's why I'll never be in politics. How about doing what's right and what your city needs now?
Absolutely.
Don't make it about you, Nenshi.
No, I want an indoor stadium for football, and I want an indoor, and I want a new hockey rink. And I think the Calgary Next plan that they put forward, while I didn't necessarily agree with the location, I would have preferred to see it in an outlying area and expand the C train out to it. But that's not what they were pitching. But the idea of a combined stadium with an indoor stadium for football is exactly what I want. Because as a Stamps fan, I'm tired of seeing winter cost us Grey Cups.
Well, Mark, you know the way it is. McMahon Stadium now is just about the worst stadium in the league.
It's not just about John. It's by far the worst stadium in the league.
Well, I mean, everywhere else has a new stadium. So it's pretty easy. I mean, Montreal doesn't, but they've got a nice little small outdoor stadium. The field in Toronto is a great place to watch a football game. I don't mind outdoor football. I'm tired of minus 40 in November.
Of course, as aren't we all, but welcome to Canada.
Yep.
By the way, Prairie Mobile text line this morning, Trevor in Saskatoon watching. Hey guys, congrats on the new show. I met Rod a couple years ago at Riders Camp in Saskatoon. Great guy, great show. Thank you, Trevor. By the way, you may find this interesting, Ryan. Top six cities for viewership of the Rod Peterson Show: Regina, Saskatoon, Calgary, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and then Estevan, Saskatchewan. We're very popular down in Estevan. Keep rolling with the Facebook comments, folks. It's our Friday morning. We'll call it a football Friday here, coming from the bunker in a field north of Regina is where we broadcast from. TSN's David Naylor coming up on the program. We should talk about the lid lifter to week four in the CFL last night. The upset that was Montreal knocking off Hamilton 36-29 in the back end of a home-and-home. I did not expect the Alouettes to come out and look the way that they did. Guys, I don't know how you felt about the football game last night. I was very happy for the Alouettes. We talked about this in the opening warm-up, that they tarped off those upper sections of McGill Stadium, and good for the Alouettes for doing it. Made the TV, the crowd look great. It was a great night in Montreal, Ryan.
Yeah, I thought it was a great football game, too. I mean, even with the lead, what it was, with I think it was 36-18 at one point, you didn't think the game was over by any stretch. I think at 36-18, there was 8 minutes left, and I thought, boy, this could still happen. Hamilton could still come back and get it done. They moved down the field to get a touchdown very quickly, and Stanbeck was incredible last night. You know, that one run where he had, where he kind of leapfrogged over the defender and shucked off another guy at the 10 and then just tagged it to the corner.
Well, great run.
I mean, incredible touchdown. Yeah. And it was spectacular to watch. We were sitting in a bar last night. A couple other guys were sitting with
me. Where are you at?
Well, I'm just over in the Super 8 down off.
But what bar were you
Victoria.
At?
We were at the Victoria.
Vic's Tavern?
Vic's Tavern, yeah.
Haven't set foot in that place since I quit drinking. It almost killed me. Not their fault, mine. Anyways, great spot, by the way. Love those guys.
I had a great burger, and I was there down there with Murray McCormick and Danny Austin, just watching the football game, having dinner, and it was an incredible game. I was surprised to see the Alouettes playing that well after they'd been, you know, they've been so terrible for so long, and really, I kind of, it's a bad thing that they won, I think, because Kavis again keeps his job. Like the amount of fail up that that gentleman's had in his career is spectacular. And the idea that they came out and beat the Tiger Cats last night is just going to give whoever buys the franchise maybe a moment to say, well, maybe Kavis can turn this around. But, I mean, in the short term, great game. Great for the fans. I mean,
great for the league.
And good for the league.
No question.
Good for the league, yeah. I think Toronto needs a win next.
And Stan Buck looks to me like, oh, potentially superstar. 203 yeah. yards, man, oh man, and he looked terrific. Speed, power, he's got it all.
Yeah, I think they got a decent scouting staff there in Montreal. There is talent on the football club, there's no doubt. Ryan, maybe we'll talk about this when we come back next segment, but here's a notion that was floated last night. I heard you talk about the Argos, and they need a win, and they do. Somebody said maybe they can make the announcement at halftime of the Lions Argos game that Kawhi Leonard's signing with the Raptors. A lot of things
would have to go right.
A lot of stars would have to align. Hey, great thought.
Yep.
Just not sure how you would pull it off.
Both to sign today, isn't he?
Who knows? Free agency opened on Sunday, and he's stringing this out. He's getting free lunches, free flights. Hey, I don't get it.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I'm sure I would too. We'll take a break here. Comments welcome on the Facebook feed. Also, the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. Football Friday here on the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and tune in. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Friday morning sports update. The Red Blacks will kick off week four of the CFL season when they host the Blue Bombers in a battle of undefeated teams tonight on Friday Night Football. Red Blacks quarterback Dominic Davis starts against his former team for the first time. Last night in the CFL, Montreal upsetting Hamilton 36-29. The Blue Jays begin a three-game series against Dylan Bundy and the Orioles tonight at Rogers Center. Aaron Sanchez scheduled to start as the Jays come off an 8-7 loss to the Red Sox last night. Brendan McKay makes his second career start when the Tampa Bay Rays host the New York Yankees tonight in the second of a four-game series between the AL East's top two teams. McKay, one of baseball's top prospects, pitched six scoreless innings and a 5-2 victory over Texas in his major league debut Saturday. Washington Nationals go for their ninth win in 10 games when they host the Kansas City Royals today in the opener of a weekend series. Washington has gone 26-10 since May 24th to move a season high four games above 500 at 45-41. And biggest news in the CFL is the Stampeders confirming this morning the story that we broke yesterday, Bo Levi Mitchell going to the six-game injured list. So it is Nick Fatty Arbuckle against the Riders' Cody Fajardo tomorrow night in Canada's Game of the Week. Paul, can we get the poll results, Clark? From rodpeterson.com, the question today, the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Daily Poll. Who will win the Battle of the Backups tomorrow night? 89.1% saying, Cody, don't call me Fajardo, Fajardo. So Ryan Ballantyne is in the bunker with us, Stampeders blogger from the Horseman Radio podcast. Time for you to have your say on Bo not playing tomorrow night, and it doesn't look like for a while.
No, I mean, they put him on the sixth game, and I think that's a financial decision. You know, I'm reading this morning that he is week to week and could be back anytime. But if week to week turns into 6 weeks, you've saved $200,000. In the old days, of course, when you used to have the nine game list and you could only pull one guy off in the first half of the season and one guy off in the back half of the season, stuff like that mattered. With the new list, there's no reason why not to put a guy on the sixth game. And he's not the only guy that went on the sixth game this week. Don Jackson, the running back, also on the sixth game. He's out with a concussion protocol, and they've got Kadeem Carey coming in. But look, is Bo Mitchell better than Nick Arbuckle a quarterback? Of course he is. There's no question about that.
He's the best in the league.
Bo Mitchell is the best in the league. And for anyone that would make the Mike Riley argument, I'm happy to have that with you. It's Bo's self-preservation that makes him better than Mike Riley in my mind. Mike Riley does not play the game like there's two plays from now. He plays the game like this is the last play of the game on every play, which is great from a passion standpoint, but it's terrible. It's terrible from a longevity standpoint. As tough as he is, at one point, he's going to take a hit that he shouldn't have taken and didn't have to take.
Some wonderful questions coming in. Sorry if I cut you off here, but
no,
Matt Ramsey writing us on Facebook, are the two starters tomorrow the future star quarterbacks of the league? I would think Randy Ambrosi's on his knees in his office on Eglinton Street in downtown Toronto going, oh, yes, I hope so, because there are not to say there's no stars would be wrong at the quarterback position in the CFL, but there really are only two. You just mentioned them. Zach Caleros is a star, but he can't stay healthy. As Lynch, you would say he's GWH.
Great when healthy.
Great when healthy. And unfortunately, I think Zach's a legitimate star, but he just can't stay in the field.
He hasn't been, I mean, unless he just hasn't been healthy since the first time he was injured in Hamilton, because Zach was not good last year.
Well, I know 2015 is a long time ago.
Yeah, and that was the last time he was good. Like, when you look at Caleros' career, 2015, he was spectacular out of the gate. He blew out his knee, and he was gone the rest of the season. He's not been good since. When you look at that, the numbers compared to what he was pre and post that one injury, he's been god-awful. I mean, you guys had more wins in this town last year than you had passing touchdowns, and that's got to be a sign of that Zach's not good. When Arbuckle's got eight touchdowns through 2 weeks, you know, then Caleros just isn't good.
I'm of the belief, not about stats, about leadership, that can't be measured in wins. Well, actually, it is measured in wins. It can't be measured in other statistics like quarterback efficiency, completion percentage. Zach is a leader, and that's just from being around him. I'll go to my grave believing Zach Caleros because of his concussion history, was robbed of a chance to be one of the CFL greats. That's my belief.
I don't disagree with that notion. What I disagree with is the idea that the leadership that he's got in the room is more valuable than what he's doing on the field. And on the field, he was not good.
But some guys with great stats don't have the leadership.
Yeah, that's true too.
And don't win.
That's true too.
Right?
You need a nice combination of both. You need a guy in there. You need somebody in the room that's a great leader and can jump on everything and move everything forward. You also have to have somebody who's great on the field.
You think,
and I'll take a guy that throws 7 touchdowns and is a bad locker room guy over a guy that throws 1 touchdown and, you know, leads 3 field goal drives.
There are a lot of those guys. In the room. A lot of those guys.
Do you think Arbuckle's a good quarterback?
I think Arbuckle is good enough to win on this Stampeders team with this offense. I think he's good enough to win games. Do I think he's the next star in the CFL? We got to wait and play that out. I mean, being behind Bo Mitchell allows you to not have to show whether or not you're good or not. Arbuckle was really good in the preseason. He was great last week.
Where's he from?
The United States.
Yeah, you know what? Hey,
I don't admittedly go that deep into a guy's college career.
Clark can maybe throw that up. Clark's telling us to talk about the depth charts for the game tomorrow night. Do you have the Stampeders depth chart, Clark? Can you? There it is. I don't know if you... It doesn't say on that particular sheet what Arbuckle's college is. I can look it up quickly.
It won't say it. But
a ton of changes, you said.
Yeah, you've got 6 guys coming or 7 guys coming out and 6 guys going in. And that is a substantial amount of players when you're talking about starters. Mm-hmm. And it is mostly starters that Calgary lost. Brandon Smith is not playing in this game. Bo Mitchell's not playing in this game. Ivan McLennan was starting at defensive end last week, and he just... I mean, I don't know if you saw the replay of that injury, but it was gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
Watching his leg just essentially bend in half. And then had the bad luck, too. I mean, bad enough luck that your leg is shredded. But terrible to, on top of that, also have... He broke his hand when he landed. His knee went out, and then he landed on his hand and broke it. So he can't even walk on crutches because he's got a broken hand. So... It's
horrible.
It's a terrible situation for him, but he's out. Brandon Smith is out. And I'm trying to figure out the rest of... Oh, there we go. Arbuckle's a California guy.
Sheldon Jones, thank you. Sheldon Jones.
I'm not sure which Sheldon Jones that is. Is that Piffle's podcast Sheldon Jones?
Probably.
Or is that Horseman Radio Sheldon Jones? Because each have one.
Identify yourself.
And I know our guy is watching.
Are you the Calgary one or the Saskatchewan one? Please let us know.
But you got to admit, there's a lot of key guys out.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of key guys out.
Jones.
Defense has been a stretch for this season because they are rebuilding. Yeah. They lost more than half their starters from last year's defense. And a lot of guys, I think, they were expecting to get back.
David, the defensive tackle, Micah Jones.
Micah Johnson.
And
Junior Turner.
Alec Singleton.
Well, Singleton is probably the best Canadian linebacker this league has seen in a very, very long time.
And I've heard they think he will make Philadelphia.
I think that's right. He's pretty confident in it. We talked about it. The OG Sheldon Jones. That means he's Calgary's.
Okay. Thank you, Sheldon, for watching. We welcome all Stampeders fans to this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've talked, you know, about your WWE style radio appearances. If people don't understand what you're doing, that's on them. I think it's very clear what you do. And
it's clear to me.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But back to the Stamps. Yeah, losing Micah Johnson and now Junior Turner's gone. You've also got Forlan Oromolade went down in the first game. He was going to be the replacement for Jagarrad Davis, who they thought they would re-sign. You had the Canadian safety, Adam Berger. He retired 2 weeks before camp. And so now you've got Mechie in there, who was with the team last year, but is a first-year starter. You've got a couple new linebackers. Everything is in flux with this defense, but... That said, I trust Brent Monson to get them into shape for November, which really in Calgary is the only thing that matters.
Well, it is. Hang on. I want to stop. I want to ask you, because we're getting deep into the minutiae of the rosters, which is cool. But I want to ask you a question that really weighs on my mind. And I think deep down I know the answer to it. But how much does it drive Stampeders people like yourself, and particularly the John Huffnagels of the world and the Dave Dickinsons, that the Stamps aren't a bigger deal? Like, they must, in their town, because they must just sit there and go, what more do we have to do? We win every year. And the quote that Huff gave to me, because I love our visits, We get to the bottom of the matter real fast, Huff and I. And he said, our fans are every bit as passionate as your fans, but there's only 24,000 of them. The people that come to the games, right? It's not millions around the world like Ryder fans. There's nothing more Huff can do, or Bull Levi, or Dave. Even going out and speaking in schools, or, you know, doing the things we say about the Waterboy thing with Bobby Ackles in Vancouver, shaking hands and doing those public things. I don't even know if that would work in Calgary. That's
we've had three losing seasons since 1990. How do you, and in one of those, or sorry, four losing seasons since 1990, but one of those we won the Grey Cup. So you had a losing season, but you won the Grey Cup. So
2001.
Yeah. So you look at what Calgary has done since 1990 in the Buono era into the Huffnagel era with those Federick years in between. And Calgary fans are spoiled. So it's easy to watch a game on TV now. Let's not forget that a lot of guys in Calgary are firing out oil money and they've got a 60-inch high-def TV at home. Well, why am I going to the game and paying 30, 40 bucks to go sit on a metal bench in the end zone when I could sit at home, spend that 40 bucks on beer, watch it on TSN with our great, with my 65-inch high-def TV and the TSN panel and replays and everything else that you don't always get in the stadium. There's a lot to watching the game on TV that wasn't the case 20 years ago. You know, when the season didn't start till Labor Day, because that's when CBC aired games.
Right.
You were going to the stadium because that was the only way to watch. They were blacking out games because that was the only way to watch.
Hang on. We need to pause. We're not going to take a break. To Clark, hold that thought, because I don't think you're done. But we got TSN's Dave Naylor with us on the video chat, and I don't like making guys wait through the break. So throw your headphones on, and let's bring in David Naylor. Nails from TSN Control. Do we have him? We do. Hey, Nails, happy Friday.
Thank you very much, guys. The heat wave has hit Southern Ontario.
What is the story out there? Is anybody in danger of losing their life? Is it that hot?
Hey, between the heat and, you know, Kawhi Leonard sightings, yeah, it's a typical summer in Toronto. No, it's an atypical summer in Toronto. I was just down at the Argos availability down at BMO Field. Just got back from that this morning. But no, I think it's going to be comfortable for the game tomorrow night. But we are in full heat wave mode in Toronto. Yeah, panic will soon hit.
What are the Lions and the Argos, if you spoke to the Lions, Argos for sure, what are they saying in advance of the Brayley Bowl? I'll still call that tomorrow at BMO.
Well, you know how the availabilities are supposed to be close together. The Argos was at 11:20. The Lions is at 5 o'clock. So not so much when they're coming from the West Coast. But, look, you know, the Argos, I think, are trying to just figure this whole thing out. And I think one of the factors that I think is generally underestimated in football is just consistency. And when you look at the Argonauts, you know, new head coach, new coaching staff, I mean, a couple of quarterbacks who both struggled last season, particularly James Franklin under Mark Trestman and Bob Bethel-Thompson, who hasn't played. You know, Darrell Walker, who's come from Edmonton, where he had Jason Moss as his head coach and Mike Riley as his quarterback for the entire time he was there. Most of the receivers he played with were guys that were developed by the organization and spent time on the practice roster, and now he's been dropped in here. So, you know, these guys have, I mean, look, I asked Joe Walker this morning when I was there, I said, how many times in your career have you had two targets, which is what he had last week against Saskatchewan. I mean, there's a really weird stat, and I'm going to be slightly off with this, but it's basically correct. Daron Carter is about 35th in yards per catch this year in the CFL, and I think he's second in targets. Darrell Walker is second in yards per catch and is 35th in targets. So, you know, you figure that out for me, but they clearly have to get him more involved in the offense. It was all about having more of a vertical passing game this year, stretching the field, things they didn't do a year ago. They went out and signed the best receiver, bar none, in the league, but certainly the best vertical threat in the league, in Darrell Walker. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, and they're barely getting him the ball. So that's the biggest thing I think you got to look for against the Lions.
Week four opened last night, the upset in Montreal, Alouettes 36, Ticats 29. I felt it was great for the CFL, and a lot of people do across the league. Do you? How'd you feel about that game?
Unquestionably. I mean, just to see, like, Montreal didn't fluke to a win. I mean, that was a very powerful win. And, you know, I love sometimes, because people love to dumb football down to quarterback stats and nothing else, right? But if you look at the quarterback stats in that game, you know, Vernon Adams, 200 yards, Jeremiah Mazzoli, 400. But William Stanback had that fantastic game. I mean, their defense played well, particularly in the second half. And look, I often say, I don't have a rooting interest in this league. I'd love to see every team go 9-9 and all the home teams win the playoff games. You know, that's my rooting interest. But I think that's Montreal's been such a disaster. I don't know if you guys caught this, though. There's a little subtlety in last night's game that I noticed this morning, and I tweeted about it, that Peter Lenkov, he, the producer of CSI New York, Hawaii 5-0, MacGyver and such, was tweet cheering during the game last night for the Alouettes. And we, of course, reported that he and his brother are the lead group to get the Alouettes. I believe they're still in exclusive negotiations. And I don't think he would be tweeting about William Stanbeck and the Alouettes if they didn't think this deal was going to get done. I know nothing more than that. But look, that's good news for the league. The Alouettes winning was good news for the league. I think the interesting thing will be where Montreal goes from here, because I'm sure opposing teams are going to try to just gang up on William Stanbeck and try to make Vernon Adams Jr. beat them. But yeah, and look, they had a decent crowd last night. It was a good news night for the Alouettes, and by, you know, kind of translation, a good night news night for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome, all positive. And I didn't realize that about the next potential ownership group in Montreal, so I certainly hope that's right. Now I'll be following that story. But I'm starting to get a lot of questions about the Schooners, David, and the latest I've heard by looking into it is that it's not dead, but it's been very quiet. What do you know about the Atlantic Schooners thing? Because CFL fans are really starting to ask questions.
Well, I think these guys were probably, I would say from the very point this story surfaced, which is now, you know, probably about 20 months ago, I would say this group has been aggressive on timelines. You know, every time I would talk to them and they would have timelines of what they thought things would do, the league's sort of timeline was always more cautious. And I think they've learned, they've kind of adopted the language that the Ottawa Red Blacks group used in their time running up to existence was, it's going to take as long as it's going to take. And I think that's what the reality that's set in here. Look, I think the deal they came up with to in terms of building basically a smaller stadium and that they would make it professional ready was a good idea. I don't think the season ticket campaign was a great idea just at the time. I don't think they got the bounce out of that they wanted. I'm not sure the announcement and the presentation of that was as sort of over the top as it needed to be. I mean, if you're going to do that, you kind of got to go all in. And I don't know that they really invested enough in that. Just when I look at the results, the Moncton, you know, they're playing the game in Moncton, not in Halifax. And the last couple of games the CFL had played in Moncton didn't necessarily go over well. And people are looking at it and saying, well, the Argonauts look terrible, and Montreal until last night looked terrible. Like, what am I really want to pay for a week 10 game between, you know, teams that look like they're going to be bottom dwellers? So, look, here's what I know. I know that they are pushing through the process. They're working with the city, not against the city, to try to come up with a deal. And in terms of timelines, where it gets tricky is if it bleeds into 2020, because 2020 is an election, a municipal election year in Halifax. And I think they want this kind of determined, because the mayor, Mike Savage, is a real, I don't know if you want to call him a proponent, but let's just say he's somebody who is friendlier to this idea than maybe a lot of people might be. He's always loved the idea if you can make it work. So I think they would like to get this done without it becoming a political issue in a campaign in 2020. But I share, and this is why it's important, I think, for timelines, you know, not to be too aggressive, because then if you don't meet them, you know, people look and say, what's happening? If you look at the timeline in Ottawa, I think they were 7 years from their first meeting to kickoff, like where the owners got together and said, why don't we do this? So, yeah, these things do take a lot of time. I wouldn't be pessimistic, but I think there's reason for, you know, cautious on any optimism.
You know what? That's better than nothing. So I'll take it. Thanks for the update.
By any means, no.
Yeah. And lastly, David, your thoughts on Bo Levi Mitchell going to the sixth game. This is the biggest wave of adversity the Stampeders have faced probably in the Hufnagel time.
Well, you look at this team that won the Grey Cup last year. Let's just do defense alone, right? Patrick Levels, Siante Evans, Micah Johnson, Alex Singleton, Jameer Thurman, There's at least, Jagaret Davis. There we go. I can't believe I got all six. There may be more than six, but that's not the bottom of the batting order, if you know what I mean. It's kind of interesting. Bo Levi Mitchell does end up missing six games, which I think is probably unlikely. It may save them enough money off the cap to welcome Alex Singleton back if he gets released by the Eagles sometime in August, because otherwise that would be a challenge. But look, from what I understand, this is a kind of week-to-week injury, one that they are still learning more about. And obviously you can't put a guy on six-game retroactive. So if they put him on one game and 3 weeks from now they realized it was going to be six, I mean, with Bo Levi Mitchell having a $700,000 a year salary, it's a significant savings if he did miss six games and you had him on six games while that was happening. But, you know, Nick Arbuckle has 34 passes in his career. He looked great last week. He looked pretty good in spot duty a year ago. But when you look at, when you remove Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, Tavares Daniels, Mark Schell, and half that defense, this is not the 2018 Calgary Stampeders. And I think this is the greatest challenge we've seen really since Bo became the full-time starter of this team.
Ryan Ballantyne's here, Stampeders blogger from Horseman Radio. He's got a question for you, Nails. Ryan, fire away.
Yeah, when you're talking about the Stampeders and taking a look at that defense, it seems to me with Hufnagel era has been about not early season success, but that late season success. So where are you seeing kind of the progressions with what the Stampeders have been able to do with the defensive replacements? And if you know any defensive ends you could forward our way, that would be great.
Well, I think that the nature of the CFL, mostly because of now no offseason workouts except for free agent camps and such a short training camp, is that the evaluation phase really does. I mean, I hate the expression, you know, the season begins at Labor Day, because I think the games the first half of the season really matter. And I think, you know, we're talking about a league where finishing first or second in your division makes a big, big difference as opposed to coming in third. So I hate that kind of idea that, well, you know, July and August is just disposable. It doesn't really matter. But there is, I think, by its nature, the player evaluation phase, players learning schemes, guys who are new to the league and just adapting to three-down football, that doesn't all happen in 2.5 weeks. It just can't, right? And so I think when you turn over as much personnel as the Stampeders did and you change the defensive coordinator, even though it's a guy who's been on their staff and you've got the consistency of the head coach being the same, you really can't evaluate what the Stampeder defense is going to be or what it's going to eventually evolve into, I think, until we get, you know, 4-6 weeks into the season. That would be my take on that. When you have as much change and turnover as they've had, and you know, and as you say, there may be positions where they've got to go fishing in when the NFL cut down time happens. And the problem is that you know, the NFL used to start cutting down in mid August. Now they cut everybody at the end of August because they need those guys around to play the meaningless preseason games because they don't want to get their starters hurt. So that can be a ways away. Further away than it used to be just a few years ago, but I think that's an organization that has proven a capability of filling holes multiple times in the past. It hasn't been so much by free agent defections that they've had those holes in the past few seasons. It's more been over the course of injuries. But you know, look at the job they've been able to do in the past, and I think it's wait and see on that. And I won't be surprised if by the time we get into August, you know, that defense is tuned up.
Nails, this has been a fantastic visit. I appreciate you coming on with your knowledge and insight. We'll be watching for you this weekend, and I appreciate it, my man. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. TSN's CFL insider, David William Naylor. So we got a lot to talk about and sink our teeth into with John Frenzy and Ryan Ballantyne. The sponsor's couch has been loaded up. How you doing, Paul?
Good.
Paul's in Paul's chair. I still haven't been to Home Depot to get that sign made up. Now Clark's all over me to take a break, so I will. Norway has chimed in this morning from Trent. He is watching. He has done his dinner of lutefisk and crumb cake, Lynch. We'll get his take. Oh, yeah, I got his message right here. So much to come when we return. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Based in Regina, with branch locations in Ontario, Manitoba, and Alberta, Nexon Solar, your provider of high-quality solar roof systems, solar shingles, and solar electric vehicle chargers. With financing options that can see you with free power in under 7 years, Nexon Solar, an investment in our future and your bottom line. Contact us today for a free quote. NexonSolar.ca.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.